Rick Emerson radio program. It's 503-733-2970. Thank you for coming by. All right, I'm making sure I've got this. All right, make sure that's loaded. All right. 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson radio show. Coming up later on, we got Aaron Geek in the City. Duran is going to be in the studio with us. The 2 o'clock hour, Joshua Jackson. We'll be here to talk about his new movie, Bobby, etc., etc. We got the big baskets full of Breaking Britney news. And we have your phone calls, etc. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm sorry, I'm just reading the message board. I'm reading the message board for Rick Santorum's concession speech. The first entry just says, "So long, freak." Bam! Here's Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth.
It's time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
This is our election special,
so we need the special election music.
Oh, do we have the...
yes, we do.
Ladies and gentlemen, here's our exciting special election music. But there you go.
Fantastic. Well, we have several things going on here, and you're probably wondering where we should start. First, let's talk about what happened in Oregon, where the state has been cleansed of Republicans. There really aren't any left to be found.
They've been driven into the sea.
They have been. So,
turned into
sticks. You can pretty much count on, unless you were, let's see here, if I can find one Republican. I think there's one good one here somewhere. Oh, Greg Walden did win. Other than that, well, everyone's been cast into the sea. And the governor won for a second term. So there's, and all these measures, let's see, pretty much failed except for Measure 44,
which is
a prescription drug.
Well, here's, and I just started.
Oh, property rights, whatever that means.
I was getting these text messages all through the movie last night. Let's see, where's the... Where's the one that I got? I got from...
From Aaron.
From Aaron. And I can't read it on the air, by the way, but all of it. It's just... as we were seeing the film last night, and my cue was vibrating. I looked down, and it said, "Yeah, Santorum is pwned!" And it's spelled with, like, half... You know, it's all, like, in geek speak. And then he notes that, that Senator Santorum did, He did receive said defeat, in one of his, openings.
And we do
which
have
which is
that.
Ironic, of course. Mm. I'm sorry, do we have him?
We do have Mr. Santorum's.
Let me see if I've got this here. This is...
Defeat in that Pennsylvania Senate race.
Now in squiggle vision.
Yeah. Here he comes. He's slithering up to the podium.
Here it is. This is the big one. This guy's the enemy of so many people. Gays don't like him.
That's
a lot of
Chris Matthews.
Jewish don't like him.
MSNBC.
A lot of liberals generally don't like him. And throughout the campaign, he had
most
a hard
humans
time
don't like
40%. Very hard.
When of this will be delivered in partial time?
Just let me say, well, we love you too.
But in a straight way.
Only if you're white and heterosexual.
In missionary position only, we love you.
Only women and Jews are told. The new senator-elect from Pennsylvania, Bob Casey, and wished him my all of us very best.
Oh, the game!
To him in his new role. Pledge to him any support that we can give to make sure that the people of Pennsylvania continue to be served in a seamless way
on a silver platter
over the next couple of months.
Medium rare.
In my new position as catcher.
I congratulate him, and I mean that wholeheartedly. I congratulate him. He ran an excellent campaign.
He's a whole.
And I know he is a fine man, and he'll do a fine job for Pennsylvania. Please give him a round of applause. Please. Come on. Give it up. Give him a round of applause.
Oh, too demoralized to even clap.
So much for that.
Yes, Virginia, there is a Santa Claus. All right.
And it's early this year.
All right. Fantastic.
God bless us all.
Okay. All right. Let's see.
It's kind of a feel-good thing, really.
And, you know, he's just a terrible person. That's the thing.
There's
about
a special place in hell reserved just for Mr. Santorum. He has a front row seat.
That is, by the way, the official position of the CBS Radio Portland News Department as it exists with Inside AM 970. Dan, just so you're aware of that. Who else is on my... Dan, and who is that other... that dick that called the other... Chris? That's for you, too, Chris.
Oh, the religious nut?
That guy who called up the other day? That's for you too, friend.
Where is your political party now?
Stick that, pal. All right.
So that's that. And right. Well, let's talk about what the president has to say today. He says we're back to A.
We're starting at the top?
We are. All the right. President says the voters have spoken.
People went to the polls, and they cast their vote for a new direction in the House of Representatives. And while the ballots are...
Wait.
People went to the polls.
Polls.
And they cast their vote for a new direction in the House of Representatives. And while the ballots are still being counted in the Senate, it's clear the Democrat Party had a good night last night. And I congratulate them on their victories.
Oh, that's beautiful. All right, Scotty, let's make sure we don't lose that one. Make a note. I gotta put that in the perimeter archive after the show.
So Bush says to the Democrats, put the election behind you and you better start cooperating.
I'm obviously disappointed with the outcome of the election. And as the head of the Republican Party, I share a large part of the responsibility. I told my party's leaders that it is now our duty to put the elections behind us and work together with the Democrats and independents on the great issues facing this country.
Yeah, I don't think the election's going to be put behind anybody anytime real soon. I think you've got a long, hard road ahead of you, friend.
Mm-hmm. The president says the Democrats did what they had to do.
They ran a disciplined campaign. Their candidates were well-organized and did a superb job of sending out their votes.
Yeah, all right.
Meanwhile, the big news, of course, today, they were all, I think the most shocking thing of all, Donald Rumsfeld has stepped down. We don't know if he was pushed out or what happened, but he's no longer going to be having his former job. The president says he'll be replaced by somebody named Bob.
Bob is a former director of the CIA and current president of Texas A&M University. Confirmed by the Senate.
That certainly qualifies you to run as Secretary of
25 years of national security
defense.
Experience and a stellar reputation as an effective leader with sound judgment.
And he can also do that hook'em horns thing, too. So there you go. But, you know, when he says he's going to be replaced by Bob, I just flash back. This is a little for the geeks in the
house. I always think it's like 97.1 Bob.
You think 97.1 Bob FM. I immediately think back to Microsoft Bob, which is this ill-fated operating system that they tried to launch in that kind of like the early 90s, and where the logo was just a huge smiling face wearing a pair of spectacles. That's what I'm thinking of. All right, there you go. So Rumsfeld gone, which surprised everybody, apparently. I mean, until the Dick Uliano said that he had no idea. And you got to imagine this, and I'm just speculating. I don't really know. It's like they keep putting that Santorum statistic on the screen just to arouse me. 41%.
So now John McCain's on TV saying he has expressed a lack of confidence in Rumsfeld to distance himself.
Man, what is with him? Have they replaced McCain with a pod person? Oh, and victory is still attainable in Iraq, McCain says.
Actually, they replaced it with Mr. Potato Head.
It's just all you have to attach to the face, there were just wrinkles. It's wrinkles and liver spots. The thing about that Rumsfeld resigning, and I can't reiterate enough how much I'm going to miss him. What I would like to do is I would like to now start a political reality show, which is just him and Rick Santorum. Listen to this now. Don Rumsfeld, Rick Santorum, Pat Buchanan, and all we need is one more. And then we put them all in a house together somewhere. Who else is out of office and useless now? There's got to be somebody.
Colin Powell,
there you go. Put them all in a house somewhere. Bam, turn on the cameras. Good to go. I would watch that 24 hours a day. I'd quit my job to watch that. But so we've got McCain, and the thing about McCain is what's gotten into that guy's head lately? Has he been infected with some kind of tapeworm that sucked away his ability to be independent? Remember there was that weird time when McCain wasn't really, like, beholden to anybody, and he was riding on that bus that was like the Straight Truth Express, and everybody was all into him because it seemed like he was speaking from the heart and wasn't being anybody's lapdog? And now every time you speak him, every time he opens his mouth, it's sort of like his mouth opens and then Karl Rove's words come out. It's all very confusing. All right. Well, we'll see.
Well, there's a new lady house minority leader, Nancy Pelosi, and she has a few things to say herself.
They chose a Democratic majority to address the concerns of America's working families and, of course, to address the concern that the American people have about the war in Iraq.
The people went to the polls, and they cast their vote for a new direction.
Thank you. Fantastic.
Meanwhile, a Democrat is taking over former Republican Congressman Tom DeLay's seat in Texas? Apparently so. On the bank number B for more fun-filled events here.
And, okay.
Well, the morning after winning a landslide re-election victory, somebody who apparently nobody likes, but they really do, Hillary Clinton got like 71%.
70%!
Isn't that incredible? I mean, nobody likes her, but she wins by a landslide.
That is just, they must just be terrified of her. I mean, that's the thing. She really... I mean, maybe she's just threatening to come to your houses and make coats out of your puppies or something. I don't know what the hell it is, but you're right. I mean, and look, and I say this...
I mean, she is Cruella de Vil.
She is. You're completely right about that, too. That is absolutely correct. And she's also like the... What's it? God, what is it? The White Witch or the Winter Witch or whatever that woman and the Lion, the Witch in the Wardrobe
is? Oh, yeah, I know the one you're talking
just
about.
Just sort of like white skin and blood red lips and just sort of a, what's your life in Turkish delight? You know, just just kidnapping Edmund on a sled, riding around and turning gnomes into stone. I can't believe I'm talking this way. Here's the thing about Hillary Clinton, but you're totally right about this. Is that... Yeah, I want to note, by the way, that while Tim and I are having this reasoned discussion of the political process in America, Sarah Dillon is doing nothing but trolling the internet for Joshua Jackson facts.
I know this.
I found some good stuff.
There's 10 pounds. There's a whole ream of Joshua Jackson information over by the printer.
Oh, I think there's going to be a ream of Joshua Jackson.
In this article I just found, he talks about whether or not he's going to go to Katie Holmes and Tom Cruise's wedding. And,
really?
And he's fearful that Dawson's Creek might be his only brush with fame.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Let's make sure to ask him about that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Manning defended Lindsay Lohan, too, so no questions about her.
Oh, I'm totally going to ask about her.
Yeah.
He made
a huge public statement about how everyone should leave her alone because she's just doing what other 20-year-olds do.
You know what? But see, here's the thing.
She looks like just some old salami hanging in a deli case.
Okay. Just to recap... Hillary Clinton is a witch and will make coats out of your puppies. Lindsay Lohan looks like a salami. And Sarah Dillon wants to ask fluffer questions to Joshua Jackson. That's what you've missed if you didn't hear the last hour and 15 minutes of this program. Yes, you made the McRib is back noise.
It says someone asked if he was going to their wedding, and he wrote, I think my invitation got lost in the mail.
Bam, and he's witty, too.
Love him.
Let me ask you this about the McRib. Somebody told me that the McRib isn't... I mean, now I know it's a relative statement when we're talking about McDonald's, but somebody told me that the McRib is not real meat. And I don't mean not real meat like the way that everything at fast food places is not real meat, but they told me that like it's a full-on soy product. Tim?
Not to my knowledge.
I didn't think so. That sounded like some made-up bupkis.
Yeah.
I believe it might, in fact, be deep-fried bits of radial tire, but I don't think that it is, in fact, soy. Okay, so just to recap, so when Joshua Jackson gets here, so, Sarah?
Should I give him this story?
About Lindsay's latest fender bender. Do that. And then ask him...
Do that.
I read that.
Ask him if he likes fruit-flavored cocaine to go with that.
I know somebody who was once in a car with Lindsay Lohan, and I'm not going to say who it was, but he said that... She was the craziest driver that he's ever been in a car with. That she didn't stop at any stop signs. She's like screeching around.
Who was it?
Nobody.
Tell me.
I'm not going to tell you.
Who was it?
I'm not going to tell you.
Man or woman?
Man. You don't know him, though.
Have you talked to him online or in person?
Both.
Is he...
Rick!
Bigger than a bread box.
Let's move forward.
So, when Joshua Jackson gets here, Sarah will be the good cop.
Oh, no, I just found Joshua Jackson and Diane Kruger are in love and ready for marriage.
Well, but that's only today, baby. She's just Mrs. Right Now.
He's only been in town a few hours.
Those looks will fade, Diane Kruger.
Oh, hello.
She's just really pretty.
How old is she?
I don't know, like 20?
Too old.
Yeah, well...
she's 30.
Oh, really? Well, see, there you go. Yeah, she's going to look like Sharon Stone before too long. So there you go. So you can be waiting in the wings. You should tell him. You should... Here's the tack.
Have you ever seen Wicker Park?
No.
It's a really good movie. She's in that movie.
Here's the tack you should take with Joshua Jackson. Is that you are wishing him happiness, Diane Kruger, whatever her name is. Wishing him happiness and a long, happy marriage. You know, a big family. And you hope that they have a long, enduring love forever and ever. And that... The key, Joshua, is as we wish you luck with your marriage and that we wish you all the happiness and contentment in the world in this relationship, the key is just to go into it wholeheartedly to make sure you don't have any regrets, any things left undone.
That you have
lived life to its fullest and sucked out the marrow before one commits.
The pictures, they look really cute together.
Well, but they're pictures. Of course they look really cute. Man, the guys in this audience had a nickel for every picture that looked cute with them and some, like, skank they didn't want to be with. I mean, seriously, come on, man. Not that she is, but I'm saying pictures, I'm sure she's a wonderful person, but I'm saying guys in a picture doesn't tell you anything. A picture is always, especially a picture of a celebrity, who's to say? So, moving on. Here's Tim Riley.
So Hillary Clinton responds to last night's election.
You know, the message couldn't be clearer that it is time for a new course.
Oh, come on, say
beyond
it.
Beyond all the partisan
say
ideological
it.
Division,
say it.
Back to the vital, dynamic center.
Say it.
To begin to solve the problems of New Yorkers and Americans.
People went to the polls, and they cast their vote for a new direction.
Fantastic.
She'll tear your eyeballs right out of the socket.
She will. You really put your finger on
sharp talons.
You really have nailed it, though, in that...
Well, that's my job.
In that, yeah, that... no one... Whoa, is this real? Is that true? Okay, I don't know if you just saw that.
They only kept it up for like 2 seconds.
I wrote it down.
Somebody was told to take it off.
I wrote it down, and I'm going to ask who's coming up next. Ed McCarthy won. I wrote that down. Here's what CNN just reported. Now, this is just this is not news. This is just a poll.
Well, that was up for a second.
I wrote it down.
Oh, there it is
again. There it is again. CNN poll on choice for president in 08. McCain 48%, Clinton 47%.
Well, let's remember,
and that ain't Bill, baby.
Hillary supporters always lie until they get in the voting booth.
You mean they lie?
About their support. Everyone says, oh, I hate Hillary.
Oh, yeah. No, but that's the thing. So you have totally put your finger on something, which is that everybody claims that they hate Hillary Clinton, and they may, in fact, actually hate her.
Right.
And yet, you're right, though. They go in the voting booth, bam, Hillary for president. You know, and in this case, Hillary in New York is 71%. And, I mean, she seems like a pretty overtly terrible person. So...
You bet.
I mean, there you go. You know,
but at least she admits it.
Really?
She's upfront about it.
This is how dictatorships rise, by the way.
She has reason to be a terrible person.
She does have reason to be embittered and cruel at this point in her life. Do you think Bill just stays out of her way? Everybody, this is the thing. People talk about, like... I think Sarah has actually asked questions about the nature of their relationship. And people say, well, the Bill and Hillary have... you know, an understanding, or people say they have an arrangement, or you know, whatever, that her predilections run in other directions, or whatever. People will have all kinds of, and that they, I think that they stay apart from each other just because Bill is terrified of her. I mean, especially now, man. I mean, as mean as she probably was before, can you imagine how much meaner she got after 98 came and went? Bill in there giving it to some 12-year-old intern in the office or whatever. I mean, so. But this is exactly how dictatorships rise, by the way. Just you can say that you were here when Hillary Clinton and her hobnailed boots took the first shaky steps towards crushing down America with an iron fist. I mean, that's really what this... Well, I don't like her, but she does seem to keep the trains running on time. I say we vote her in and give her powers over the chancellorship. You know, and then the next thing you know, we're all in camps being fed bowls of hot water and leaves. That's just a theory. Here's Tim Riley.
Meanwhile, Minnesota Democrat Keith Ellison has become the first Muslim to be elected to the U.S. House of Representatives. He compares his joy of winning to giving birth.
I feel like a mother who's just delivered, you know. I'm not worried about any of...
Are you sure? He doesn't sound Muslim.
I feel like a mother who's just delivered, you know. I'm not worried about any of the pain, you know. I'm just worried about the great moment we're having right now.
Maybe he's been schooled.
He's... What do you mean by that, Tip Riley?
I don't know.
Fantastic. Really? A Muslim got elected to the Senate? I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that.
The House.
I mean, the House. But, I mean, really, in 2006, in a post-Toby Keith era, where was this at?
Minnesota.
Yeah, I don't know anything about Minnesota.
All I know that's where Mary Tyler Moore was working at one point.
And Paisley Park is there. That's the extent. And Mark Baumgarten from the Willamette Week now lives there. That's the extent of my knowledge about Minnesota.
Why would anybody give up Portland for Minnesota?
Why would Minnesota be full of Muslims? That doesn't make any sense to me either. Is Minnesota a known hotbed of Muslim activity?
I'm not sure.
London's
about Minnesota.
Full of Muslims.
Like, yeah, but that's London. This is Minnesota.
Yeah, but they're, you know, different places.
Yeah, fair enough.
Why not Minnesota?
Exactly.
No, I don't care. It doesn't matter. I'm just saying you don't... When you think of Minnesota, you just think of Frances McDormand. I mean, in a hat.
I think of Mary Tyler Moore throwing her hat in the air.
And that old woman behind her going, what's that? Here's Tim Riley.
For those of you who didn't know, Senator Edward Kennedy was reelected to his 8th consecutive 6-year term. So you do the math. 48?
So his what?
8th consecutive 6-year term.
Really?
Isn't that 48?
Well, All right, then. Mm-hmm. Yes, I believe it is.
Here he is.
Okay.
What the do you think you're doing?
Sorry.
that's my fault. That was Patrick Kennedy. Bam!
That the Democratic Party is the party of hope, not despair. It's the party of progress, not reaction. And it is the party of reconciliation, not division. And we are the best hope of mankind.
What do you think you're looking at, sugar?
All right.
Okay, it's time to eat some humble crows. As, yes, for the first time in a long time, Joe Mentum engulfs the state of Connecticut.
I promise you, I will go to Washington beholden to no political group. But only to the people of Connecticut and to my conscience.
Walking through that voting booth, looking for the real truth.
It works.
Vote your mind, eventually the bottom line.
God bless. We've got to play that for Joshua Jackson. I bet he'd love it.
You know what? I take it all back, Joe.
Let's clap for him.
Joe.
Good job, Joe.
I never thought it was possible. I didn't think it was ever going to happen, but dreams do come true, Peter. So there you go. Well, congratulations to Joe Lieberman, and I never thought of that those words would leave my mouth again. Ryan, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick.
Hey.
I was listening to the Speaker of the House talk today. I think it was like her first speech with her as the new House Speaker. Swear to God, one of the first lines out of her mouth was that America voted for a new direction.
Oh, no, it's true. She said it. In fact, let me see if I have this here. This
five
is Nancy.
Times.
Nancy, but she said it. I won't play the whole thing again, but she said it like five times in about 90 seconds. Let me see if I can, let's see here.
I didn't know if you guys covered it or not yet.
For the American people. Today, the American people voted for change. And they voted for Democrats to take our country in a new direction.
And then she says it like four more times, and then she ends with it here.
And so we say to the president, Mr. President, we need a new direction in Iraq.
Yeah, it's a great day for all of us. Right? Today we are all winners.
Yes, we are.
Let me ask you this. When did you tune into today's show?
Well, sporadically. I don't have access to the radio program at all times, unfortunately.
Now, what is it now? Is this because you're at work?
Yes.
Now, may I ask what kind of work you do?
I do research at the county.
Research?
So I drive around, when I cook with my radio sitting here next to me, but I have to get out of the car and
walk
and stuff.
Okay, but so it's not because you were listening to a competing radio station?
Oh, God, no.
Okay. All right, thank you, sir. There you go. All is forgiven. All right, there you go, Ryan. Thank you, my friend. All right, I got Ryan, ladies and gentlemen. Ryan. All right, do we have to break? All right. Break, we'll come back with more of Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. McCain, 48. Hillary, 47. And it begins. Ah, fantastic. Excellent. Here's what we got coming up. Ed McCarthy, going to be here at the top of the hour. Aaron Geek in the City, Duran, in next hour to tell the worst, by which I mean best, bachelor party story of all time. In the 2 o'clock hour, Joshua Jackson will be here, and Sarah Dillon will do her very best to seduce him and get him to go out for a night of drunken regrets on the town. Stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970, Solid State Radio. Oh, I can't believe you just said that.
It's true.
Okay.
Oh, and now stop.
I won't repeat that.
That was so weird.
Out of a sense of decorum.
Thank you.
Sarah just said one of the following things. I'll just say, like, of the three things I'm about to say, Sarah just said one of these. It's raining outside just now. A lot of rain coming down. I'm going to give you three phrases. Sarah said one of these things just now.
And maybe I didn't at all. You might just be making all of them up.
Look at that rain. I hope Joshua Jackson doesn't get wet. I'll have to lick him dry.
I did not say that, A.
Look at that rain. I hope Joshua Jackson doesn't get wet. I'll have to sponge him. Number three. Look at that rain. I hope Joshua Jackson doesn't get wet. His clothes will be sticking to every inch of his body.
You're making me sound... I think this has escalated into a thing that it shouldn't have.
I haven't escalated anything.
I was just joking around.
I was going to cancel the interview like weeks ago. I didn't even know. It's impossible for me to escalate it.
Well, if Josh Jackson is listening, I'm really not that obsessed with you.
No. It's a front for me. It's really me. It is me. I, Rick Emerson, am obsessed with Josh
Jackson.
You
were a little starstruck last night.
He was a cool guy.
It was pretty cool to see the closing credits with his face on the screen, and then bam, there he is right there talking about the movie.
And he was... Now, was he tall in real life? I couldn't...
He's 6'2".
All right. Okay.
Yeah, he was really tall.
Because I'm so used to actors just being a very small man. I don't know that I was starstruck by him, but it's like you're used to being actors either being stupid or just being jerks.
I thought, yeah, I was nervous that he was going to be rude.
Then you just have to go and shoot yourself if it's like you meet some guy you really like and then he's just obnoxious. We'll be joined by Tim Riley in mere moments here as we resume the broadcast from the Ministry of Truth. This is Chris. Chris, what's up?
Hey, Rick, how's it going, man?
Hey, what do you got, brother?
Hey, I haven't heard you guys talk about it ever, but how do you guys feel about the show House?
I know exactly where you're going with this, too.
You know where I'm going?
I know exactly where you're going with this.
I was so upset. I mean, after that epic day we had in Portland yesterday, and I finally get to settle down to my... We've been waiting like 3 weeks for this episode of House, the big fat guy.
Here's the thing. Tell me if this is what you're talking about. Now, I don't dislike the House. In fact, I like that guy. A lot. What's his name? Hugh Laurie.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of that guy, and I'm a fan of him from way back in the old school when he was on Blackadder, which was this show on the BBC. So I'm a big fan of that guy, and what I've seen of that show, I like a lot. It's one of those shows I mean to watch on DVD the next time I'm unemployed.
Yeah.
Here's what happens last night. Tell me if I'm right about this. And it was only in Oregon. Oregon, in a state where, come on, let's be honest, I respect the electoral, well, I don't, but I pretend to respect... I respect the fact that people pretend that the electoral process works. Let's call a spade a spade. Oregon is a blue state. We all knew that Kulongoski was going to get reelected. We all knew that which way all the ballot measures were going to go. There were going to be no surprises last night. Everybody knew how the elections were going to shake out in this state. And yet, what happened to last night's exciting episode of House, Chris?
They cut, like, you're right to the good part where he's going to figure it out, and they go over to the Benson Hotel, and they say, Ted is going to speak soon. And this chick babbled on for about 10 minutes about, oh, this is so exciting and what a great party. And they say, well, we're going to rejoin House in progress.
Yeah.
Go back to a commercial, and then after the commercial, they show about 2 minutes of the show, and then at 10 o'clock, boom, it's done.
Yeah.
You never saw the end. We never figured anything out.
What crap is that? So that, and then they showed them, they showed Kulongoski, and then they showed Ron Sachs's his concession speech.
Right, right, uh-huh.
Yeah, and so meanwhile, you're sitting there on the couch going, come on!
Why couldn't they wait till 10 o'clock and do the news like they're supposed to, you know, because that's how it was scheduled.
Why couldn't they just run a crawl at the bottom of the screen and says, hey, exactly what you thought was going to happen. Kulongoski won. You live in Oregon. It's a
different state. And then,
state.
They switch around Dancing with the Stars, which I never watched, but it was on, besides election. They didn't do a thing. They didn't cut. There was no bleeps on the bottom until it was time to go, and then they went, and it was all good. But,
you can't breathe.
Oh, God. I wanted to leap. I was going to be the second leaper.
Okay. It's no longer too soon. It's now time.
Yeah, we never found out anything that happened with that either.
Thank you, Chris. God bless.
Best damn show ever. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. There you go. That's Chris. And I passed Peter Carlin yesterday. I was walking downtown, and I passed Peter Carlin and his son. At least I hope it was his son. I never actually clarified that. Maybe Peter Carlin is just stealing the children of other people.
Doesn't he just have a daughter?
Maybe he's like a big brother.
Oh. What?
Maybe he's like a big brother or a mentor.
I know my name is Steven. Yes, I passed Peter Carlin as he was busy cutting the hair of a small boy and changing its color. In the restroom of a Kmart. No, not really. I got a bunch of email about those ones. Like, God damn, Peter Carlin about House. Everybody is really pissed off about that. And it's one thing if you like live, if you're in Virginia, where it was undecided, still undecided. But I mean, here, everybody knew. I mean, again, it's a blue state, good, bad, and different. Everybody knew how it was going to go. But they interrupt House twice. Then they go back, just enough to tease you. Here we are, back to House. Oh, gone again. Let's go talk to Ted Kulongoski some more. I mean, they screwed everybody who's a fan of that show. So sorry about that. What are you going to do? I have some observation I was going to make. Chris, best show ever. Jumper. Oh, yeah, here's the thing about the jumper. In fact, let me read this email. Rick. Subject line of this email. Suicide? What suicide? Rick. I'm not ready to put on my tinfoil hat yet, and I'm sure I wasn't hallucinating the hour plus you spent on the suicide from the top of the Paramount yesterday, so I'll come back to you and plead for a follow-up. I know it was a busy news day, what with the biblical floods and the GOP having their asses handed to them, but there hasn't been one word of it anywhere. Anywhere! My wife works at an unnamed large hotel two blocks from the Paramount and parks on that street and saw nothing. And no one at her hotel was talking about it. I saw the blog that Sarah referenced, and you had loyal listeners calling in with their very vivid and detailed accounts, but the local media hasn't said anything. So what? Can you give a brother an update? Surely this wasn't a cruel hoax. Did he get up, brush himself off, and walk away? Oh, that's a big no.
I believe the cleaners arrived.
Yeah, they gave that the... Yeah, he didn't... Yeah. He didn't brush himself off. They sort of hosed him away into a bag, I think. Anyway, so there
yeah,
you
and
go.
I trust Aaron Geek in the City, and he saw the guy in the body bag.
Well, then I had several emails from guys who, I mean, you can tell, not that I'm like some whatever, some master of whatever, but I mean, you work in the media long enough, you deal with enough email, enough whatever, you get a pretty good sense for when people are being straight up and when they're just sort of screwing with you. But I got several emails from people who have been emailing a long time, people that I trust and I know, and they were.
Plus, not to mention the fact that we were next to the Paramount Hotel last night and saw
gone.
The window.
That's the other thing. I meant to mention that. So, yeah, you always I had to walk by the Pegasus right by the theater. I had to walk by the Paramount yesterday, and it's that the side that was facing the Starbucks, I think. And you know what? And that guy had said, the guy, was it an email or a phone call? The guy had said yesterday, he's like, I was at Michael's Clothiers. And he's like, I heard a crash. Looked out, saw the chair land, and then I looked up again, and there comes the sharp-dressed man, like, bam, into the ground. So I'm walking by Michael's Clothiers yesterday, last night, you know, going, walk right by, I turn, I look up, and sure enough, right up at the very top, in the middle, not a broken window, but just a missing window, the window full-on gone. So, and as far as it not being covered, as Tim told us yesterday, that's a thing that they just don't talk about in the media.
Now,
was that
email that you got yesterday confirmed?
Are you talking about the follow-up email?
Yes.
No. Well, in the sense that no one else said that.
Okay. Yeah, it was just so weird to see them all, like, milling around outside, like, yeah. Everyone who works there, as if nothing had happened last night.
We had a follow-up email, which I will not read, just out of, you know, because who knows. I had a follow-up email. It wasn't with the guy's name or anything, but it was somebody speculating, saying that they heard from a guy, that they knew, you know, kind of who the guy sort of was in a general sense. But But that was the only email we got. Never confirmed. I'm not going to read that. But it did happen. So, anyway. Tim Riley's The Ministry of Truth.
And there was a song from ZZ Top many years ago about the sharp-dressed man.
Yes.
But nobody remembers it. Let's talk about Sean McCain, shall we?
Oh, can we please?
Reload Bank A.
Reloading Bank A.
Because there's so much stuff here.
It's a crazy day. It really is. We haven't even started talking about Brittany.
Senator John McCain says he's disappointed in the results of the elections. Reflecting on GOP losses of Congress, McCain says he thinks Republicans lost because Americans are frustrated with the current leadership.
I think this is because many of our voters have begun to believe that we value power over principle, and that we came to Washington to reform the government, and we became part of the government.
He says voters are frustrated and about, well, maybe two things.
One of the reasons why our base is not happy is because of the out-of-control spending. Of course, the war in Iraq overlays much of this, and I understand people's frustration.
By the way, we're getting this, I got an email from somebody here. Apparently, House, which was preempted twice last night to give you information about the election that you already knew, will be played in its entirety next week. I'm unclear about whether it's just everything is going to be like musical chairs where everything now gets bumped down one. But apparently they are going to replay last night's House sometime next week. So be watching your TiVo.
Will there be an apology by the governor for interrupting it?
There really should, man. That ought to be Ted Kulongoski's first act as governor. In fact, so we can get him on the phone and just demand that he apologize for interrupting House. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, apparently, Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger was reelected yesterday in California.
In a landslide.
I promise you, in the next 4 years, I will protect your values and I will protect your dreams.
Things of this nature. That is a thing that I've started mentally tagging on to all of his, every soundbite. Because, and it's because of, what's his name, Jim blah, 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 that guy in the morning, and Stephanie Miller, that guy. You know, I got to tell you, and typically on radio shows, especially morning shows, people who come on and do imitations or impersonations or voices, it's very tired and tedious. Typically, I don't like it. That guy who's on Stephanie Miller is the best voice guy I have ever heard in my life. He does the best, most flawless impressions I have ever heard. I mean, it's uncanny. And he does a Schwarzenegger, which is just a genius. And he pointed something out that I had not realized, and now I've noticed it, and it's just everywhere, how Schwarzenegger is constantly tagging the end of his statements with, and things of this nature, which is, that he's constantly, things of blah, 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 we will get an economy, and everybody will have a job, and we will work to fight the corporate emissions of pollution and things of this nature, and he's constantly saying it. The guy on Stephanie Miller started doing that, and now every time Schwarzenegger speaks anywhere, I notice him saying that. So in my head, every Schwarzenegger cut ends with that.
The governor says he's listening to residents of the Golden State.
In this election, the people voted their values, and we must value their votes. We must listen to what they're saying and do what they're asking us to do.
And things of this nature.
A conservative watchdog group is trying to reassure disappointed Republicans about the surge of Democratic momentum. Brad Snavely, who's the executive director of the Family Forum, says many Democrats share similar values as the now minority Republicans.
It doesn't necessarily mean that the values of the country have suddenly flipped. It simply means that it was a good year for Democrats, which in an off-presidential year, particularly the sixth year, the party out of power always loses seats.
No, it's not true. Everything is Scotty is doing heroin and having gay sex right now. It's true. No, he's not really. Yes. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, let's talk about Lindsay Lohan's latest fender bender, shall we?
Can we please?
According to Lohan's rep, Leslie Sloan Zelnick, well, with a name like that, you wouldn't want to mess with her. The budding Bobby Thesp. Why is she called a budding Bobby Thesp?
I don't understand.
Who wrote this?
Are you just reading the continent?
Scotty, you gave me this story. She is called the budding Bobby Thesp.
Oh, I see, like thespian.
Maybe.
All right.
Well, anyway, her black Mercedes was rear-ended by a paparazzi in Los Angeles at 2 o'clock in the morning. The crash occurred while Lohan was attempting to avoid the lens of a photographer who had been trailing her since earlier that night. It's unknown whether the star, who's no stranger to paparazzi-induced fender benders, plans to file a police report about the snap-happy photographer or whether she suffered any injuries from the smash-up.
I don't understand. Here's what I don't get. If you're Lindsay Lohan at this point, It's like Pam Anderson. At this point, why do you even care if the paparazzi trails you? Like, what are they going to catch Lindsay Lohan doing that we don't already know or at least suspect about her? Do you know what I mean?
Chewing gum.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like, everybody kind of knows that she has a drink now and again to excess. Everybody, it seems to take it as an article of faith that she does a lot of drugs. She made that statement the other day about, like, I just want to have sex constantly with hundreds of partners or whatever it is she said. What? Really, I mean, it's like, unless she's got a 5-year-old stash in her crawl space, I don't really understand what it is that she thinks they're going to catch her doing. As Tim pointed out, she looks like some sort of ham hanging in the...
The only thing it looks like they're going to catch her doing is drunk driving. I mean, why doesn't she get a driver? That always fascinates me when, like, Paris Hilton and Lindsay Lohan will stay till like 3-4 o'clock in the morning in a club and then drive themselves home. It's
seriously.
Like, what are you doing there that you can drive?
Not even Scotty drives himself home.
I don't think the buses are running that late, though.
It's just...
You know what I want to ask Joshua Jackson about? About the clubs there, like how these 20-year-olds... The clubs in L.A.?
Yeah.
How these 19 and 20-year-old kids can stay at these clubs, supposedly 21 and over until 4 o'clock.
Are you going to ask?
I kind of want to.
All right. Can we talk about... Because he's not listening. Because, in fact, here's how I know he's not listening. Because he is doing an interview with Scott Daly right now.
Oh, good.
So,
okay.
Can I bring up this question that you were openly speculating last night about asking him?
Oh, if you slept with Paris Hilton?
Yes.
Well, it seems like everybody has, so I just wanted to see if he had.
Nobody in this room has.
No, I'm just saying. But, I mean, it's... You see, and you were like last night, you're like, I'm totally going to ask him if he slept with Paris Hilton. But see, here's the thing. You never will. You will never do it, and here's why.
I have all my questions.
How about if I call up and disguise my voice?
Hello? Would you...
Maybe someone can call in and ask for me.
And then we can act shocked and appalled and offended. We get Scotty... Scotty, you need to call up and ask. Call up as someone else, Ted, Bob, Hank,
from
Phil.
Aloha.
and ask if he has slept with... And then we'll all be, oh, bad caller. And then we'll just look at him and stop talking.
Okay.
And see if he answers.
Do you think it's rude to ask what it was like going through puberty on worldwide television?
No, I asked Tini Others that question. We got to tell him...
Can I ask him if he gets profits from the syndicated shows?
Yes.
Okay.
You got to tell him he's sitting in the teeny other celebrity chair, too.
You tell him that.
I'm totally going to tell him that.
Okay. I'm also going to ask him if Nicole Richie is really that skinny in real life.
Oh, you know she's even skinnier. The camera adds 10 pounds. Mm-hmm. So somebody was... never mind. Make an observation about something. But I'm going to skip it. Let's do these. We'll talk more with Tim Riley, Jack, here on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, I was listening to your theory on Hillary Clinton being Cruella.
Yes.
But I got an even more fitting theory.
She's Adam Carolla. Yeah.
Hillary Clinton is a Sith Lord using her influence to take over the Senate, then release the stormtroopers in our republic in order to quash any rebellion.
I am the Senate. Yes. Now, here's the thing is, like, if that turned out to be true, would any of us bat an eye? Would anybody be surprised by that?
No. Hey, and I got an observation. How come they never cut, like last night when we're covering all these political news?
Yes.
They never interrupt commercials.
No.
The shows.
Yeah, no, just House.
What's up with that?
Can't lose money.
No.
Those advertisers are paying for the show. That's
which is true, but it does seem...
not NPR.
Yeah, it does... It's not show art, kid. It's show business.
It totally blows.
It's commerce above art.
Yes. I'm just...
I have a lot of friends that were excited for that episode. That
for House?
Sucks.
Sucks.
If it that totally happens to America's Next Top Model tonight...
There's got to be blood. There you go, Jack.
All right. Well,
It's because we in the media are all vile and corrupt and beholden to Mammon. That's why.
And Emperor...
Mammon! Mammon's the god of money. Mammon!
All right, we'll keep up the good show.
All right, thank you. Best show ever. There you go. Mammon is the god of money.
I heard you. What were you singing before? Was it Mammy?
Yeah. Well, that's when you were doing the jazz hands.
Oh, yeah.
When we were over at the Movin' 107.5 studios, and we were asking, we were playing, like, 80s music, and Sarah kept doing the jazz, like, the happy jazz hands, and she looked like Al Jolson. And just to try to keep it was distracting me. And so to try to keep you from doing it, every time you would make the happy jazz hands, I would go, Mammy! You know? That just now become Mammon. See, it's an evolving joke, is what it is. Here's Tim Riley.
Time for Britney Watch.
Here's. Oh, really?
Yes.
Yes, we will. Oh, we'll never finish it all. We'll have to break it up into several sections.
Did you make it longer?
No.
It's totally longer.
Scotty, have you altered?
Wait.
I think I did it again. Oh, good God. It does sound longer. You're right.
It is longer. How did he get in here?
Oh, my God. All right. Well, there's like, Tim's got his Britney stuff, and then I got a pile of Britney news right here, like, and including a thing about her sex tape.
Oh.
Here's Tim Riley.
Well, first up, Britney told her husband, Kevin Federline, that she was divorcing him via a text message while he was recording a television interview. She decided it was over on Monday after a very tempestuous marriage.
So he was being filmed as he was broken up with, yes. Divorced via text message.
She sent a message to Kevin's BlackBerry telling him exactly that. The wannabe rapper, who's 27, was filming a segment for Much Music in Canada, that's their MTV. He interrupted the interview and stormed off, returning 30 minutes later visibly upset. But the mother of two, who looks amazing after giving birth just 8 weeks ago,
that's their opinion. do you disagree?
Well, no, I'm not taking a stand here.
She looks good, but kind of like some pieces aren't fitting right.
Like the Hawthorne Bridge when he gets stuck.
she's stuck in that two-kid shift.
You don't have an opinion about what kind of meat hanging in a storefront Britney Spears looks like?
No.
Okay. Let me just say this. Have you seen that picture that's there today? Where she's got her...
The hat and the sweater?
I didn't notice either of those things because her cans look huge.
Yeah, but they also looked lopsided.
They look fake is what they look
like
to me. I'm speculating.
And one of them is a lot higher than the other one.
Maybe. I was just blinded by their size. Blinded by their size. I couldn't spot the sweater or the hat because I was blinded by her breasts, which were massive. I mean... She does look like she's had implants. I'm not saying she has, but that photograph, she looks like that. Hey, is the video of Kevin being dumped? Is that on your site?
Yeah. Okay. No, not yet.
But all right.
Can you put it on there? You can play it.
Yes, please.
Scotty
do.
Is noting we need to interview Britney Spears. Yeah, get right on that. Here's Tim Riley.
Meanwhile, Kevin Federline can forget about getting his hands on Britney's wealth to see her worth more than, well, let's see here, 65 million pounds, according to the Spurs. So that's about $120 million. But most of that money is safe, as the couple had a prenup agreement. A Malibu mansion, currently home to Britney, and sometimes the federal line is divided 50-50. Any gift worth more than $10,000 the couple has given each other will go back to the original purchaser. This includes a custom-built motorcycle Britney gave her husband for Christmas 2 years ago. Even though he won't have access to her millions, Britney will still support him for a while. She will pay Federal Line $30,000 a month for a year. Half the time they were wed, this means...
So that's like $350,000.
Yeah.
That's not too bad, though, all things considered.
Mm-hmm.
That's not too bad at all. All right. Well, we got a break here because we got Ed McCarthy coming up. And then Aaron Geek in the City, Duran, will be joining us in studio to tell the bachelor party story that until now had to remain a closely guarded secret.
We'll now talk to... it can be revealed.
Yeah. Well, now it can be told. We'll talk to McCann, who wants to talk. It just says Hilton Whore on screen. Mailman Chris will talk to us about House. Tim Riley will be back from the Ministry of Truth later on. Also, Jim Roop, etc., etc. Back after this is the Rick Emerson Show. You stay right there.